This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
Yesterday in the Democratic Republic of Congo, his 40th apostolic journey abroad and his fifth journey to Africa. Tell us what is the latest?
Well, John, since the Holy Father landed there yesterday in the Congo, he has been speaking again and again about the topic of peace. That's really been the theme of his visit. He's been lamenting the ongoing conflict that's been occurring there in the country, really tearing the country apart. And he's called it a tragedy that the lands of Africa, that the whole continent has had to endure so many forms of exploitation and especially of its vast resources. And looking specifically at the Congo, he spoke about the history of violent colonial rule there, but also the violence that continues to this day, mostly between clashes between the Congolese army and the rebel groups. There's about 120 rebel groups, and many of which have ties to the Islamic State, especially in eastern Congo. So over the last 30 years, an estimated 6 million people have died in these clashes, and about 4.5 million have been forced to leave their homes. So Pope Francis has been speaking again and again, both today and yesterday, about how that area has been what he called plundered economically and not had the chance to benefit from its vast resources. He said greed has poisoned the country and even smeared its diamonds with blood, because of course that area is well known for its diamond trade. And he says that the rest of the world is closing its eyes, ears, and mouth to the darker realities that are occurring in the Congo. And he said that Africa and the Congo really deserve to be respected and listened to. Now, John, this is just the first part of his trip. There's a second phase. He will also head to South Sudan, and there he will make an ecumenical visit. He'll be alongside of the Archbishop of Canterbury, so that's Justin Welby, as well as the moderator of the Church of Scotland, Reverend Greenshields. And this trip is especially remarkable because it's the, as you mentioned, John, it's his fifth to the African continent, and it's also his first papal visit to the Democratic Republic of Congo since JP2's visit in 1980. So no pope has visited since then. It was 1980 and 85 that JP2 himself visited. So then when Pope Francis goes to South Sudan, this will be the first ever papal visit to that country, which gained its independence only recently in 2011. So we expect to hear a continuation of this message, asking for peace, asking for reconciliation and forgiveness in the land. In fact, the Holy Father used the words hands off Africa, and he prayed that Africa would be respected as the smile and the hope of the world, John.
Ashley, I saw some images that were heartwarming of the African people, the Congolese people, shouting out their love for the Holy Father in their own language. More than a million people showed up for a mass here on day two to hear the Holy Father. Can you share with us a little bit of his message at this mass?
Yes, and also one of the highlights of that mass was all of the young kids who were receiving their first communion, coming in their white dresses and suits, and they did such a sweet dance as they waited for the Holy Father to arrive and for the mass to begin. So it was really, it was such a beautiful moment of joy. The people there, as they waited too for the mass, were shouting out, were dancing, were waving their arms. It was really quite lovely. So part of the Holy Father's message was that he spoke about the importance of healing the wounds of the country. And he related them to the wounds of Christ. He said that after the resurrection, Jesus showed his disciples, he showed those he loved his wounds, because as the Holy Father said, forgiveness is actually born from wounds. And we have to remember that wounds should not leave scars of hatred, but they should become the means by which one makes room for others and accepts their weaknesses. So again, we're hearing that theme of asking for reconciliation and peace in the country.
And Ashley, the gigantic crowds to see the Holy Father is a reminder of the office of the successor of Peter. The fact mm-hmm. that the Pope can attract such a large crowd, that he represents Jesus to all those folks.
Yes, exactly. And there are people of all faiths who have gathered as well. And the Pope will meet with victims of Congo's armed conflict in these days. He'll meet with various charitable organizations, those who are assisting to bring aid to those, especially on the front lines. So indeed, as you said, certainly what we're seeing is a tribute to the office, which far and wide people recognize as one of charity and love.
For sure. And we have to continue to pray for the Holy Father, for the success of his trip, and for his safety, as always. Meanwhile, I understand that you had an unexpected wedding yesterday, a pretty special celebration in Rome.
You're right, John. Okay, so, John, this was such a beautiful example of Catholic love and community. So there was a couple in Rome who had come from the United States to get married here. And Saint Anne herself had played such an important role in their journey toward their marriage. So they desired to be married at the Church of Saint Anne at the Vatican, which is the Swiss Guards Chapel. So the bride is a convert to the faith. And when she converted, her family rejected her. And also the family of her groom-to-be, as he became deeper in his faith, his family also moved away. So they came to Rome alone with no friends or family. And John and my husband John and I met them a few days ago. And we were able to fill their wedding with new friends of the Catholic community in Rome. So they suddenly had a full house of people there praying for them. And the night before the wedding, they had no music, nothing at all planned. The night before, some dear friends said, "Hey, we'll do the music." They brought their amazing polyphonic scuola to take care of all of the music. People brought gifts. They pledged prayers. It was just such an incredible moment of Catholic community and charity. So we wish this lovely couple from the USA all the best as they start their married life, John.
Wow. It sounds like just a fabulous celebration. And was this a fruit of the Truth and Beauty Project?
Well, they had contacted us through that. And so that's how this whole thing came to be.
There you go.
And they're leaving Rome tomorrow. So it was just a very quick visit. But what a blessing to be able to be part of their sacrament.
All right. We go from a wedding celebration to the famous Carnival in Italy. What is happening there?
Exactly. So more celebrations, indeed. So, of course, as Lent is just around the corner, we in Italy are celebrating this time of Carnevale. Goodbye to meat is what it means when we translate it. We're celebrating it in a grand way. So some of the ways we see it is that every Sunday, it's tradition that kids go out throughout the city and they dress in costumes, and they all kinds of different cute little costumes, and they bring confetti with them and they sprinkle confetti on everyone they pass. So it's such a sweet reminder as you walk the streets during this time of year when you see confetti all over that this is what the kids are up to during this time of Carnivale. In the meantime, you can probably bet that we have all kinds of sweet treats to enjoy too. One of those famous is the castagnole. So this actually originated in the Emilia Romagna region, but now you find it everywhere throughout Italy. And imagine these are little fried balls of dough, but they're named after the chestnut, which is castaña, because of their shape. And but they're more similar in texture to a donut. They have a slightly crisp exterior and a light fluffy center. But then here in Rome, the most famous treat is called the frappe. And this is a fried dough fritter. And usually they put powdered sugar on top, but sometimes they'll put chocolate or pistachio or even liqueur. And so these are some of the things that we're enjoying these days. But my husband, John, and I are especially gearing up for a big celebration that's coming on up on the 18th of this month. And John, today marks a special day for John and my husband, John, and me, which is it's our 15th anniversary of marriage.
Wow. So, congratulations. Yeah. Aguri, aguri.
Aguri. Grazie. Grazie, caro. Yes. So on the 18th.
That means congratulations in Italian.
That's right. That's right. That's an important little note. On the 18th of this month, we were invited by a woman by the name of Princess Gesine Doria Pamphili. Now, this name may sound familiar. The Doria Pamphili family is the family of the lineage of Pope Innocent X. This is the family that is of Piazza Navona, the Fountain of the Four Rivers, St. Agnes, etc. And they who, for example, commissioned Bernini to be part of St. Peter's Basilica and St. John Lateran, etc. So they have this beautiful history of patrimony. And so in honor of our 15th anniversary of marriage, Princess Gesine has invited John and me to co-host her annual charity ball with her. So she's a big fan of the Truth and Beauty Project that my husband John and I run because, of course, her love for art and beauty and heart for that. So we are preparing for a grand ball, John. We are so thrilled about it. And to
you're going
to
be the grand belle of the ball.
Well, there you go. I like it. Guests are coming from the U.S. and from Canada and from all over Europe. So we are so excited to celebrate this, John.
That is so awesome. Again, just congratulations. Yeah. It is what a way
you.
To celebrate for sure. And then tomorrow is the Feast of the Presentation. And I know that that is mm-hmm. celebrated in a big way in Italy.
Yes.
While here in America, most people are thinking about Puxatani Phil and Groundhog Day.
Right. Well, actually, our minds aren't too far away because we also have some traditions that are similar to that. Mm-hmm. In fact, what we say here is that the Madonna della Candelora, we say Candelora instead of Candlemas. And so when the Madonna della Candelora, she prays, and if the weather is bad, it means that winter is going to continue. But let me tell you, on the other hand, if you go to Puglia, Italy, Puglias say that if if it doesn't rain on the day of Candlemas, then winter will end. And in other parts, they say if you have rain and snow, then winter will end. So it depends on where you are and what they decide. But of course, this is the day where Italians will bring their candles to Mass. Those candles will be blessed, especially reminding us as winter comes to an end that Christ is the authentic light in the darkness. We're remembering the presentation of Christ in the temple 40 days after his birth, and that the blessing of the candles symbolizes that unending light of Christ, John.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Narona every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.